Right. Well, you know, just looking back over the course of this past week, the economic indicators out of the US, you wouldn't exactly call them soft, but they've just soft enough to give a chink of hope that the Fed might be able to start to think about lower interest rates sometime around the middle of the year. And that came through in Powell's testimony to both the economic committees of the House and Senate through the middle part of the week. He's still trying to say, look, you know, just hold your horses. There's no way that we can start to bring interest rates down soon, but that they are, if things go to plan, in a position to start to think about lower interest rates. So it is still a fair way out. And the way the data ran over the course of this past week, yeah, we had things like the ISM, Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. This covers the services sector for the month of February. And you wouldn't call it weak. It sort of came back from 53.4 to 52.6. That's still a very, very strong reading for this part of the economy. So, yeah, it was back a little, but you know, not substantially. You also got, you know, the initial jobless claims came through. They're still around the 217,000 mark. So still pointing to relatively strong non-farm payrolls. And we still did get a relatively strong non-farm payrolls performance for the month of February. So that came out on Friday. And it was up, you know, 275,000, and the market was looking for 198,000. Admittedly, the previous month had a quite a big revision backwards from 353,000 to 229,000, but these are still pretty strong growth figures. What helped a bit was that there wasn't quite such intense wage pressure running through the most recent month. So average hourly earnings, which the month before in January jumped 0.6% month on month, they were up only 0.1% for the month of February. That brought down the annual rate of growth in wages in the US to 4.3% from 4.5%. That's still high. You know, the Fed really needs wage growth around the 3.5% mark. But the other factor that went with the non-farm payrolls was a bit of a lift in the unemployment rate. And the unemployment rate lifted from 3.7% to 3.9%, largely because, you know, had quite a big lift in participation rate. You know, the hint of some softness through these numbers, but nothing dramatic. The other area that was somewhat helpful is that, you know, unlike here in Australia, we had pretty strong Q4 non-farm productivity change. You know, Q4 non-farm productivity was up 3.2%. It was up 4.7% going back the quarter before. So you're getting some pretty strong productivity growth running through. And as a result of that, you know, even though you've got pressure coming through from wages, unit labour costs are not rising that fast. So we had Q4 unit labour costs came out. They rose less than expected, only up 0.4% quarter on quarter. The quarter before, on revision, they're only up 0.1%. So, you know, this is where it just opens up this chink where, you know, the Fed at some point could take a risk with lower interest rates. When I say take a risk, you know, you've still got an economy which is marching up at a pretty strong beat. So if you are going to start lowering interest rates and you've got, you know, the pressure that's coming through from, you know, very buoyant financial markets at the moment, you know, you've got wealth growing very, very fast, you've got wages growing very fast, you've got incomes which are growing fast in the US, there's a very real risk that you could end up setting up you know, boom conditions running into later this year or going into 2025. And yeah, the Fed could find itself in a terrible position where, yeah, it brings interest rates down a couple of times, but then is in the beginnings of a new monetary policy tightening cycle and off a base which is, you know, close to 5%. So, yeah, there's a lot of risks around this which, you know, the market for the time being is ignoring, but we'll watch as time goes on. There's no doubting that internationally there's a lot of pressure coming through for central banks to start to think about lowering interest rates. And in the case of the US, there's that other horrific pressure point looming on the horizon. and that is that President Trump doesn't like what the Fed's been doing with interest rates at all. He would rather see them push down interest rates aggressively, and you know, that's a story though for a lot further down the track. Moving into this week, you know, we are going to get a bit more information out of the U.S. economy, quite important information. So we get things like the February CPI comes out, and at this stage, it still looks reasonably firm. You know, 0.4% month on month for the headline CPI, after a 0.3% gain the month before. That would keep the annual inflation rate at 3.1%. The core inflation rate, or core CPI, up 0.3%, the market thinks, after a 0.4% increase the month before, that would bring the annual rate down to 3.7% from 3.9%. Those numbers are out on Tuesday night, our time. They'll be followed up by some producer price inflation numbers coming out on Thursday. And on Thursday, we'll also get things like retail sales for the most recent month. And then moving into Friday, we'll get some industrial production, and we'll get some of the local manufacturing PMI data. You know, we get New York State, Empire State Survey comes out coming up on Friday for the month of March. Just some of those other indicators. Producer prices are just lifting a little now in the United States. So it is expected that producer prices for the month of February, they'll lift about 0.3% after being up 0.3% the month before. So just a bit of a turn running through just some of these underlying price pressures. And retail sales expected to rebound. So February retail sales, market's expecting a 0.5% month-on-month increase and about a 0.4% lift in core retail sales. So on balance, you know, the data through the course of this week, you know, is looking pretty firm. But yeah, it's this ongoing expectation that perhaps the Fed can adjust interest rates downwards at some point from the middle part of the year. It's adding to the froth which is running through U.S. financial markets at the moment. Moving to China, and this week, or last week, we had some export data and import data. There's a bit of life in this. So exports were stronger than expected for China for the month of February. Expected to be up 1.9% year-on-year. They lifted by 7.1% year-on-year, so that's quite an acceleration from 2.3% year-on-year going back the month before. Imports, more of a reflection of domestic spending in China. They were stronger too. The market was looking for 1.5% year-on-year. They're up 3.5% year-on-year, and again, a reasonable acceleration from 0.2% going back the month before. This week, we'll get CPI and producer prices in China, and a little bit of a shift. This last few months, we've had China in deflation. That deflation will end, we think, with the February CPI. February CPI, the market thinks that the month-on-month will lift by 0.7%, and that would lift the annual rate of inflation in China to plus 0.3% year-on-year from minus 0.8% going back the month before. So just some signs that demand is just starting to put a little bit of pressure back in again. It's not quite there yet in producer prices, so February producer prices are expected to be down 2.5% year-on-year, the same as the month before. And we'll also get February house prices coming out. And house prices in China, according to the official data, are declining at 0.7% year-on-year. No improvement on that. If anything, they might even be a little bit worse because they've still got those problems of excess supply running through house prices in China. Moving to Australia, and here we had numbers which ran into GDP. We had a lot of monthly numbers as well. Just looking at the GDP data first, it's a softer GDP reading, not unexpected, and it wasn't as bad as the Treasurer was heralding ahead of the number. So we had GDP up 0.2% quarter on quarter. That was after a revised 0.3% gain the quarter before. And the annual rate came down to 1.5% from 2.1% year-on-year going back to Q3. If you take the last two quarters, 0.2 and 0.3, you're only annualising around about 1% economic growth, so it is pretty slow. In amongst there, we saw a bit of a rise in the household savings ratio, so that caution in the household savings sector was starting to show a bit. Certainly, it was a fairly soft consumption spending by the household sector. What growth there was in domestic demand came largely from business investment spending and also a little bit from government spending. There was also quite a strong impulse from the overseas sector. So net exports contributed 0.6 percentage points to growth. But all told, a fairly soft economic reading. There was also some sign, further sign of improvement running through productivity. So productivity is still down on a year-on-year basis, minus 0.5%. But remembering it was down 2.1% year-on-year going back to the third quarter. Quarterly changes in productivity have actually lifted quite a bit. So the last two quarters, we saw a 0.9% quarter-on-quarter lift in productivity going back to Q3, and it's been followed by a 0.6% lift going into Q4. So we appear to be past the worst of that deterioration that ran through productivity, and that may prove a bit helpful for the RBA just moving ahead. The problem the RBA faces, though, is what these softer growth numbers are saying as we run into the political cycle with the federal election coming obviously in the first half of next year. We've got the budget coming in May, and we've had a total 180-degree change in the rhetoric coming from both the Finance Minister and the Treasurer, where they're saying, look, we're changing our focus now. It's away from inflation. We've got to start promoting growth. Well, that's way premature. Particularly when there's a number of factors from the middle of this year which are going to lift growth anyway. So not least of which were the tax changes, which are already there, let alone if we get some more spending. So what the Reserve Bank's facing is it really needs another couple of quarters as weak as we've got for the numbers we got in Q4. There's talk that it's not going to get any assistance keeping those numbers soft as far as the government's concerned, and still inflation's not low enough to allow them to change course. So there's a lot of speculation off the back of the soft growth numbers. They can go for three interest rate cuts now, and they could start from mid-year. That does seem unlikely, even with the softness that was there running through the GDP numbers. They need that, and they need to see those continuing. And at the moment, there's several factors which point towards a rebound coming for GDP into the second half of this year. And moving into this week, we won't get an awful lot this week. This is a really quiet week, actually. We've got NAB Business Sentiment Survey, business confidence coming out. That's been holding up okay-ish, so at plus 6 for business sentiment and plus 1 for business confidence. So it's still more optimists than pessimists in those surveys. Be interesting to see how that goes. We get the March Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey, which had a bit of a bounce last month. Be interesting to see if that continues. But with the new cycle for Reserve Bank board meetings, the key information will come the week after. So it's not this week, it's next week, and that's when we get the Reserve Bank board meeting on the new 6 to 7 week cycle for those meetings. Moving to Europe, and we had the ECB meeting was probably the highlight running through, and they left their interest rates unchanged, which is 4% for the deposit rate and 4.75% for the lending rate. But the conference that came out from Christine Lagarde, the president of the ECB, was quite interesting. She was saying that they're hopeful that they can see inflation down to 2% by the middle of this year, but they need more information, and they'll have a lot more information by the time they get to June. So she seemed to be saying that, you know, if we get things continuing to remain soft in terms of economic activity, remembering that their GDP is even softer than ours, you know, we had a 0.2% gain. They had their Q4 GDP came out last week, it's dead flat, and that was after a minus 0.1% going back the quarter before. So, you know, they're annualising sub-zero, you know, we're annualising at 1%. But what she's saying is that, you know, if we continue to see the progress running through inflation, that they may be able to think about starting to bring interest rates down a bit down the track. So just watching, you know, for you know, what may happen just a little bit further down the track with the ECB, it does appear as if, you know, they may be the first to start thinking about lowering interest rates amongst the major central banks. This week in Europe, it's quiet. Week after, this is the calm before the storm, because if you go into, not this week, but next week, we get the RBA meeting, we get the Federal Reserve in the US, and we also get the Bank of England. So there's a lot of central bank watching, not this week, but the week after, yeah, they may give us more detail. But for the time being, there's a few wobbles in US markets. The market darling in the US, NVIDIA, you know, the enabler for artificial intelligence, you know, they had quite a big drop through the course of last week. And so, you know, there's just a bit of wobbling starting to show there. But for the most part, it still looks as if there's still quite a bit of support for risk assets running through. Yeah, it's partly coming from, you know, the rumours are starting to swirl about when the various central banks will be, you know, starting to cut interest rates. You know, I think it's still going to get pushed out, but, you know, for the time being, there's still a fair bit of optimism around that.